This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. On the show, we have a little music and a little theater. Two local 13-year-olds, Sarah Pollocky from St. Joseph and Molly Ranabarger from Champaign, turned a mystery, a children's mystery, with the character of Chet Gecko called Give My Regrets to Broadway into a play, with 11 other adults and youth involved. They are with us, along with the father of one of them and one other actor in the production. The performances are at the University of Illinois Champaign County 4-H Extension Office three times this weekend, and we'll fill you in on other details and hear about this production in the first part of the show. Later on, Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts will be here to talk with us a little bit about tonight's production by the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company, which celebrates the life and legacy of Abraham Lincoln in an extremely artistic and rather complex way. That's going to be at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. That's what's coming up on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
The Sleeping Beauty. My prince, is that you? In his childhood, the prince had heard the story of the Sleeping Beauty, but had not...
Those were two pieces of music often associated with children. I'm not really positive why the first one tends to be. It's from the Peer Gynt Suite by Edvard Grieg, music that he wrote for a play by Henrik Ibsen called Peer Gynt. And that segment, In the Hall of the Mountain King, played by the Boston Pops Orchestra, conducted by the longtime director of them, and no longer with us, of course, Arthur Fiedler. And then Meryl Streep narrating Maurice Ravel's Sleeping Beauty from his Mother Goose Suite. It was a little performance by the New Zealand Symphony Orchestra, originally for piano solo, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I played that sort of by way of introduction to the topic of this portion of the show, which is a play made out of a story called Give My Regrets to Broadway. It's by Bruce Hale and involves a character named Chet Gecko, who I have to say was completely new to me when I read about this. And what's interesting about it, not only is that it has been turned into a play, but what's interesting is who turned it into a play. And those are two young players. They were at least 13 at the time. Are you still 13?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sarah Pollocky from St. Joseph and Molly Ranabarger. Am I saying your name right?
Yes.
More or less. From Champaign. And they got permission from the author, Bruce Hale, to turn this into a play. And they, along with 11 other adults and youth, are performing in this. And we have one of those adults who happens to be the father of one of the authors. Chris Pollocky is with us. And also Sarah Pollocky's sister, Emily, is here as well. And I understand we're going to hear a scene from that. But first, before we get to that, who is Chet Gecko?
I am.
No, I mean, who is Chet Gecko? Who's the character? I don't know anything about Chet Gecko.
He's an elementary school detective, and he is actually a gecko. All the characters are animals. And,
he's sort of film noir based. He eats a lot.
Yeah.
He eats a lot?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And how is that connected with film noir?
I don't know. That's sort of an important part of Chet Gecko's character, is his love of food.
And that is Sarah speaking, and before that was Molly speaking. Right?
Yes.
I'm very nervous I'm going to get everybody mixed up here, but I hope not. So film noir, that's not something that I usually associate with 13-year-old girls watching film noir. Is that a genre with which you are familiar?
No, not really.
You're just tossing the term around?
Well, I've watched Casablanca, but that's like the only film noir thing I've seen.
Well, that's right up there. That's some people say it's one of the best movies ever made, so you're in great company. Yeah, why? First of all, how did you get into... are these Chet Gecko mysteries things that you've been reading, any of you?
Yes. The two of us have loved them for a long time. We were reading them, a couple years back, and we've liked them for a long time, and we both like acting, too. So we decided to mesh the two.
Why this particular story should give my regrets to Broadway?
Well, in my opinion, I don't know about Sarah, but it's the best Chet Gecko mystery that there is. I think there's like 16 of them, is there?
Yes.
And it's the very best one, in my opinion.
Mine too.
Yeah.
And there's how many? Oh, you said about 16. How many have you read?
All of them.
Are you also Harry Potter fans?
Yes.
That was very enthusiastic. Well, we have that in common. I know who Harry Potter is, and I've read all of those books a couple of times. So am I likely to like Chet Gecko if I like Harry Potter? Is there no relationship whatsoever?
They're both really good.
Yeah. But aside from that, there really isn't much of a relation.
Okay, so what is this story about? Give my regrets to Broadway.
Well, it's about Chet Gecko and his best friend, Natalie, and Mr. Ratnose, their teacher, the lead actor,
Scott Free,
in their school musical disappears, and Mr. Ratnose makes Chet play the lead role. And all during this, Chet is trying to find Scott Free because he doesn't want to play the role. He doesn't like acting.
Which you'll understand why he doesn't want to as we do our scene.
Yeah, indeed.
There are legitimate reasons for not wanting to do it.
And what kind of character is Natalie? I mean, what kind of animal is Natalie?
She's a mockingbird. She's sort of the brainiac of the group. She is very fond of really bad puns and jokes. Sort of, she's fond of puns. He's fond of food.
And so. Is it fair to guess what kind of animal Mr. Ratnose is?
Yes.
So no surprises there. And who was the Scott Free? What is Scott Free?
He's an anole.
A what?
An anole. It's like
a lizard.
It's a skinny lizard, as they describe him.
I've never heard of this animal.
Some of the animals that Bruce Hale has had, I've never heard of either.
Like Chuckwallas.
Yeah,
there's a soccer player who's a Chuckwalla.
And we actually looked that one up. Yeah. That's another kind of lizard.
I wonder if that is some of his point in using these animals, that he wants you to look stuff up and maybe learn something a little bit. Did you have anybody encouraging you to do this project, or did you just dream this up on your own?
We kind of just dreamed this up on our own. I was over at Sarah's house, I think, and we were just sitting around, and then all of a sudden we were just like, you know what? Let's do a play.
And we decided on that?
Yep.
You don't go to the same school?
No, we're actually homeschooled. Both homeschooled.
You're both homeschooled. I knew the two of you were homeschooled. So how did you connect in the first place? You should, listeners, you should know that every time I ask a question, they look straight at each other and are trying to, I don't know, are they trying to divine the answer? Are you trying to divine the answer from what the other one looks like?
Well, we've known each other for a long time.
Forever.
And we've been best friends since first grade, so we can pretty much read each other's minds.
We finish each other's sentences all the time, too.
So. Yeah.
So, when you decided to write the play, did you have any idea what kind of vehicle you would have? I mean, who would do it, where you would put it on? Or that wasn't your initial concern?
That wasn't really our initial concern. We decided right off the bat that I would play Chet and she would play Natalie based on who we are together. Our friendship together is kind of similar to that of Natalie and Chet's. So,
in what way?
Well, Sarah is definitely the smarter
no,
one.
No, I'm not.
She's the more studious one. I guess I do kind of like to eat, so.
And I have to ask Emily Policki, who is the sister of Sarah. I mean, you're sitting here very quietly, maybe probably because I haven't asked you any questions until this moment, but how do you put up with this?
Well, they were so enthusiastic about it. It's just a really fun project. I've directed a couple plays, and I enjoy helping them with suggestions. And it is a great book, and they did a nice job adapting it. It kept a lot of the original text and dialogue and did a really, really great job getting the same feel of the book in it. And, you know, they're cute. Awesome. I put up with it.
Are you the elder, Emily?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which probably explains how you're able to take a somewhat patronizing attitude towards the other two. If now, so I'm kind of curious about this. I mean, one of the things about that I'm sure parents weigh when they decide to homeschool kids is that there's the potential for, very real potential for much less interaction with other kids, mm-hmm. right? And Chris, you're the homeschool dad, mm-hmm. So you can comment on this. So then, if that's the case, how did you find, I mean, Emily, you said you've directed plays. Where have you directed plays? And again, coming back to Sarah and Molly, who did you hope might then there put this on, just people you would get together? I mean, that's sort of three questions all around. I guess, Chris, you can comment on my first thought anyway.
Yeah, we're very fortunate in Champaign-Urbana that there is a fairly active homeschool community centered around House, a homeschool organization, and there are, I mean, literally, I think, dozens of splinter groups of House, science clubs, Spanish clubs, literature clubs, of people, play groups, and many opportunities to get together and meet people. And out of that, you get to know people, and that's how Sarah got to know Molly, and Molly got to know Sarah. And then you get into groups, and then I think when it came to casting their play, they had this circle of friends that they'd been doing stuff with. They were somewhat familiar with their personalities, and they started to think about the characters in the play relative to who they were casting. And I think the rest
is history.
Is history, exactly. Yeah.
I actually have a friend who I don't know if she does it anymore, who used to have the habit of identifying her friends as animals, deciding what kind of animal they were.
Oh, really?
Just
oh.
Based on their personality. And I forget if she ever gave me a label.
Well, that's kind of fun.
It's probably convenient maybe that I've forgotten.
Yeah.
So Emily, where have you directed plays?
Both plays that I've directed, I wrote and I did them through, I'm part of 4-H. My mother is the leader of a 4-H group, and both Sarah and Molly are also in 4-H. And it's just kind of, we do a fundraiser every year, and we do talent shows, and I did a little skit, and then I did a longer play. And both we did at Parkland. Molly's mom worked at Parkland for a while, and we were able to get access to Parkland stage.
To the theater.
A couple mm-hmm. times.
That's great.
So yeah, I did.
So these were 4-H people performing? Other
mm-hmm.
kids who were involved in 4-H?
Yeah, and I got a couple other friends who are not 4-H'ers to play parts as well when I got desperate.
4-H is something I used to hear about a lot when I was a kid, and I confess I've heard very little about it since I've become an adult. And so remind me and maybe some of our other listeners, what are the 4-H's?
4-H's are heart, hands, health, and head.
And what does that all mean?
Okay. Head is kind of thinking, heart is more feeling, health is, in the last couple of years they've been doing a big stay active campaign. A lot of children especially are overweight, and they've been doing a lot of get fit, get healthy based
things. Maybe you've heard of Moot the Moonwalk. It's a mm-hmm. local 4-H sponsored program where mm-hmm. people were given pedometers, and the idea was to log miles of walking or running or whatever and try to get the equivalent of miles to the moon and mm-hmm. back. So,
well, I was just going to say, if you walk to the moon, that certainly you probably would come back thinner than
you'd
started.
Be fit, yes.
Which I guess
an ultra kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who's in the play then, Sarah and Molly?
Well, the leads would definitely be the three of us mainly.
The third one meaning your
yes, Mr. Ratnose.
Chris. Mr. Ratnose is played by Chris Policki,
yes.
Your dad.
Yeah. And then Sarah's mother is in it too.
Who playing the school secretary, Maggie Crow.
And my mother's in it, too. She plays, we shouldn't really disclose
that
information.
We shouldn't disclose that information.
Yes, that is secretive. come to find out who my mother plays. And my sister's in it, too.
Playing Shirley Chameleon.
Shirley Chameleon, yeah. Yes.
Well, some of these, I mean, it's obvious what some of these animals then are, and some of them not so much. In case you're just tuning in and wondering what is going on here on FM 90.9, this is Live and Local, which probably should have been your first clue that something amiss was up here, or something was amiss, yeah. And we're talking about a new production of a new play called Give My Regrets to Broadway. It's based on a Chet Gecko mystery written by Bruce Hale, and it was created by two local 13-year-olds, Sarah Pollocky from St. Joseph, Molly Rannebarger from Champaign. They are with us, along with Sarah's sister Emily and father Chris, and they are about to do for us a scene from this play. Now, how long a scene is this?
I don't know.
Have you timed it out?
A couple minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to set this up for us? What has gone on already that leads into this?
This is the very beginning of the play.
Oh, this is the very beginning. So nothing has gone on at all?
No.
All right, so this is
an introduction.
This is like a dark and stormy. It was a dark and stormy
night.
Exactly.
Okay, so we have all of those people I just named are doing this scene from Give My Regrets to Broadway.
So, it was the first rehearsal for our school play, and I wished I was at the dentist, or staked to an anthill, with red fire ants crawling up my nose.
Oh, fuck up, Chet, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, right. Anyway, I wish to be anywhere but the auditorium. Given the choice, I'd rather pull the whiskers off a werewolf than perform in a dorky play like Omelette, Prince of Denver. But who had a choice? And I was late.
Partner mall, Chet?
My partner in detective work and so-called friend, Natalie Attired, had saved me a spot. I went silently to my seat. Well, at least I tried to.
Chet Gecko, even though you're tardy, I'm giving you an honor that many students dream of.
You're letting me out of this dumb play?
Oh, I can see enough on your report card, Chet.
Wrong. Our lead actor, Scott Free, has disappeared.
Chet's ears perked up. As much as two holes in your head can perk.
You want me to find him, right?
Wrong again. I want you to take on Scott's role. And you will play the part, or you will write a 54-page report on French classical theater.
Mr. Ratneau sure knows how to put the screws on Chet. The only thing Chet likes less than looking foolish on stage is writing 54-page reports. Although, math class is probably right up there.
Okay, I'll do it. Out of curiosity, what's the part?
The lead, Omelette, Prince of Denver. You have a dramatic duet with a ghost.
Swell.
A swashbuckling sword fight. And a romantic song with Azalea that ends with a kiss.
Wait, what? A kiss? Who plays Azalea?
Well, Shirley Chameleon, of course.
Oh.
Yes, it's a lip lock with Shirley Chameleon. Smooch, monster, and cootie queen of the known universe.
I gave myself a new case. I would find Scott Free before the play opened, or my name isn't Chet Too Young to Be Smooched Gecko.
Aw, how disappointing. I always thought you liked Shirley.
Never you mind. Before you lose your lunch, let me assure you, I didn't have to kiss Shirley that morning. We just read through the play.
That's what they always do at a first rehearsal, brainiac.
Whatever. Anyway, the lucky kids got to work with Ms. Bon Appetit on the scenery, and the unlucky ones got to listen to Mr. Ratneau's blather on and on about how he'd improved on Shakespeare's Hamlet.
You'll notice that not only have I made it a musical, which Shakespeare probably wished he'd thought of.
Yeah, right.
But I've also given it a happy ending. That way, no first graders in the audience will get nightmares. Are there any questions?
Teacher, will we be wearing tights and doublets like the actors of Shakespeare's time?
Yes, Hiram. We will use traditional costumes.
Oh, but Mr. Ratneau.
When will the torture end?
How old are these kids in the play,
well,
in the story?
They're supposed to be in elementary school. I think in fourth grade.
Yeah, fourth grade.
Fourth grade? So I'm a bit older than that.
Yeah, I don't remember what grade. So what grade are you in?
I'm in eighth grade.
Eighth grade. And Emily?
I'd be a senior in high school.
You'll be a senior in high school. Wow. So you really are tolerating these people very well, I must say. You know, I have a burning question after having heard that scene you referred to, the cootie queen, Shirley Chameleon. Do girls still have cooties?
Yes.
According to Chet.
So that is still something that is a problem with childhood, that cooties exist.
And apparently.
Okay. I'm astounded. I thought that might have disappeared once I wasn't a child anymore, but apparently certain things stick around. How much of this play... Well, let me back up and remind listeners that we just heard the opening scene from a play called Give My Regrets to Broadway, based on the Czech Gecko mystery of that name, Chet Gecko being the lead character, of author Bruce Hale, who I guess has written a series of these. So this is all new to me, but if you have kids out there, it may not be new to you at all. And our actors were the two playwrights, Sarah Pollocky and Molly Rannenbarger, Sarah's sister Emily, and Sarah and Emily's father Chris as Mr. Ratnose. And that was not a bad evil laugh, by the way.
Thank you.
is that a laugh you hear much at home, Pollocky girls?
Occasionally.
Occasionally, okay. But never in earnest, surely.
Oh, surely not.
No. So it's going to be performed by these folks and seven or eight others, something like that, at the University of Illinois Champaign County 4-H Extension Office, which is a mouthful on its own. That's at 801 North Country Fair Road, Suite D in Champaign. And the website for me to give you information is even longer than everything I just said.
Sorry.
So what is the shortest way to find out about this?
Well, if you're familiar with where the YMCA is in Champaign.
The new one.
The old one, which is right next to TSI Tile.
Yes.
It's the extension office is just
really
north of there.
By.
Or if you're by Parkland, it is just... What would it be? East of Parkland and then south on the street that the YMCA is on.
I do have a phone number that people can call for information. This might be easier to remember.
Than following those directions.
I don't know whose number it is, but it's 355-8451. Is that your own number?
That's my number.
That's Molly's. That is the Rannenbarger household.
Yes,
it is.
yeah. So one quick question before we have to go. How much of the play is straight out of the story?
Pretty much.
Which, all of it?
Yeah, 99% of it.
We had to finish some of the songs in the corny musical, and we wrote a few really bad Shakespeare scenes for the play, but that's it.
Oh, it would have been fun to hear some of those. I guess that's the teaser. Now we'll have to
go
out to the show.
And can I put in a plug? You asked earlier in terms of what got them going. I want to put in a plug for Bruce Hale, because I don't think I've ever seen Molly or Sarah as excited as when they wrote, they were on pins and needles when they wrote to Bruce Hale, and then he came back, and it was great. It was fantastic.
Very enthusiastic.
Yes.
Yeah, we were on the phone together for about 30 minutes just shrieking and jumping up and down.
Yeah, so in terms of encouragement, I mean,
he's awesome.
Yeah, he gave kind of the perfect response. Not only did he say, yes, go ahead and do it, but he was encouraging, which is exactly what you would want.
Wow.
So, yeah, so a big, big plug for Bruce Hale.
He even said it was all right for them to do the show as a fundraiser as long as they didn't solicit funds for their
private gang.
So they're doing this as a fundraiser for the Champaign County Humane Society.
And so he's not demanding any royalties for this performance?
No.
Or for you doing the play?
Nope. He just requested pictures and perhaps a DVD.
Oh, wonderful. So have you actually talked with him? Or is this all email?
It's
or
email
correspondence? Well, that's terrific. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make Molly's mom, Jill, made a point in sending this out to me, saying that you do have permission from the author to have turned this into a play. So that's really cool. I mean, it's wonderful that you've done this, and also that you had that contact. That's a really neat thing. So I do thank you for coming in and sharing a bit about this production and remind folks that you can go see it. The performances are Friday and Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and there is a Sunday matinee at 1 o'clock. It's this weekend. And again, it's at the University of Illinois, Champaign County, 4-H Extension Office on North Country Fair Road in Champaign. And you can go to web.extension.uiuc.edu and sort of follow various links, and you can probably find directions and so on, or 355-8451.
Talk to Molly.
Talk to Molly. Molly Rannebarger of Champaign, Sarah Pollocky of St. Joseph. They are both 13. They are the playwrights of Give My Regrets to Broadway, based on Bruce Hale's play starring Get Chet Gecko. Emily Pollocky also joined us, and Chris Pollocky as well, on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Coming up, a conversation with Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana, who are hosting a performance tonight by the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company, centered around the life and legacy of Abraham Lincoln. Some listeners may recognize that music as coming from A Lincoln Portrait by Aaron Copland, and that's a performance by members of the Seattle Symphony Orchestra led by Gerard Schwartz. Had we continued, we would have heard James Earl Jones in the narrating role, but this program, this portion of Live and Local, is not about A Lincoln Portrait. It is, however, somewhat about Abraham Lincoln, at least insofar as Bill T. Jones has based one of his latest, you can't even call them just dance pieces because they're major production. Performance pieces, there you go, with the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company. It's coming to the Krannert Center tonight. In fact, they're setting up for it right now and doing all kinds of tech stuff. That's at the Krannert Center tonight at 7:30. And the production is called Fondly Do We Hope, Fervently Do We Pray, which is apparently a quote from one of Lincoln's speeches. With us on the program right now is Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts to talk a bit about the Bill T. Jones, his company, and this production. So thanks very much for coming in.
My pleasure to be here, Kevin.
On maternity leave. She has come in the middle of her maternity leave just to do this.
It's that important to me.
It's that important, yeah. Well, I really appreciate it because, as I said, they're in production right now, and so we couldn't get anybody involved. One of these days, I'm going to get to actually see Bill T. Jones.
Oh, you really do have to make an appointment.
Exactly. That's what I hear. Alas, in this community, Wednesday is choir night, and I'm duly involved. Otherwise, I would really like to see this. So tell us a little bit about Bill T. Jones himself. And then about this company, which actually carries his name and somebody else's, but the somebody else's is no longer around, I think.
That's right. The company is officially called the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company. And Bill and Arnie were both business partners and partners in life, and founded this company several decades ago to great acclaim in the modern dance world. And Arnie actually died from complications of AIDS quite a long time ago, and Bill has carried on the company, of course, kept the name to ensure Arnie's legacy. And Bill T. Jones is certainly one of our foremost choreographers in the world of modern dance. He's a MacArthur Genius Award winner. He's actually a Tony Award winner. In 2006, he was given the Tony for the choreography for Spring Awakenings, a play that I know a lot of people have probably been familiar with. And so he's a very well-heeled dancer and choreographer, and continues to lead this company in both capacities. In fact, when they were here two seasons ago at Krannert Center, he actually was still performing, and he's, I would guess, around 60 years old at this point.
I was just going to ask you. I saw some video clips, and it was little hard to tell, although he's got the gray hair, but then so yeah. do I, and I'm not 60, so.
It's going around. Well, yeah, he's. I had the privilege to see dance when they were here doing Blind Date a couple of seasons ago, and I was blown away by the entire company, but the draw to him in particular is undeniable. He's a beautiful dancer with incredible lines and so much grace within and without, and I really fell in love with this company and was so compelled by what I saw on the stage, and so I was really thrilled to hear that they'd be joining us again this season.
Your last comment may just answer the next question I was going to ask. Mm-hmm. Do you have any say in who comes to the Krennert Center? I know you're in the PR department, but I don't know how much you all work together. When you saw him before, and you were found him so compelling, you know, do you get to say, "Hey, Mike Ross, you know, you really ought to do it again"?
Well, you know, Krennert's a very collaborative environment, and we are always sharing with one another our experiences with the arts, just like the audience does. You know, we're all patrons as well as employees there. And I think certainly Mike Ross, the director of the center, is very open to hearing that feedback, not only from the employees, but from the community and sponsors and so forth. And so I certainly am always vocal when I enjoy something. Ultimately, you know, those decisions rest with him and with the availability of the artist. But I was certainly glad that he made this decision this season.
Bill T. Jones, I was struggling at the outset for a description, because he doesn't just choreograph, he gives productions, you know, that are more than just people dancing on stage.
Yeah, I think that there's a tremendous richness to what this company does, because there's so many different layers of performance. Like you said, there's almost always live music, which is a real privilege in the world of modern dance. So often, you know, companies travel with canned music. So to have live music, and in this case, an original score even. And he uses spoken word artists and often intertwines historical excerpts or modern retellings of poetry and song lyrics. And then his own musings even become text that is performed by actors and spoken word artists and the musicians as well. And there's always a strong visual component to what he does in terms of the set dressings and, in this case, film work. So I think it doesn't almost feel enough to just say, oh, they're going to be dancing this evening. It's really a performance experience, you know, that has a lot of different facets to it.
As you said, for this particular production, there is some, the score is originally composed. There's at least one folk song, apparently, because they sent a clip.
That's right.
Of one of those. In fact, why don't we use this as an introduction before we actually talk about the production itself?
Wonderful.
Because, in fact, I've just changed my mind what I was going to do, so I'm changing the, the clip right there.
We're mixing things up.
Yeah, because this was said to be one of Abraham Lincoln's favorite pieces of music, is this little folk song. He's often thought of as a very folksy kind of character.
Well, yes, and there's so much written about Lincoln's love of the arts and his love of music, and, you know, he played the jaw harp himself. And so so it's great that they were able to incorporate something that was meaningful to him into this production.
So this song is called Weevily Wheat. The version of it, credited here as composed by and performed by Jerome Begin. Do you know if that's how he says his name? Any idea?
I believe that's correct.
It looks like Begin, B-E-G-I-N.
Yes.
Christopher Antonio William Lancaster, all four names apparently, and George Lewis Jr. And you're hearing it on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Except that is not the clip that I meant to pull up. Let's try this again. And this should do it.
I don't want none of your weevily wheat. I don't want none of your barley. I want some flour and half an hour to bake a cake for Charlie. In the bloom, in the bloom.
I think that's an excerpt from a song, Weevily Wheat, it's called, at least incorporated into a composition by Jerome Begin, Christopher Antonio William Lancaster, and George Lewis Jr., who also performed here on Live and Local. They didn't actually perform on Live and Local, but we played it here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. We're talking with Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana about the production showing, which is appearing at Krannert Center tonight at 7:30 by the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company, called Fondly Do We Hope, Fervently Do We Pray, inspired by the life and legacy of Abraham Lincoln. So tell us what you know about this production.
Well, you mentioned the title, Fondly Do We Hope, Fervently Do We Pray, and that's actually a quotation from Lincoln's second inaugural address, and I believe it's inscribed on the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C. as well. So it's a relatively famous quote. And, of course, Lincoln is a relatively famous historical figure.
Relatively.
And, you know, it's interesting because it's one of those people that we feel that we all know. And we claim Lincoln as our own, particularly here in the state of Illinois, of course. And so the Ravinia Festival, just our northern neighbors, commissioned this company to create a piece about Lincoln. And I heard him, Bill T. Jones, that is, speaking about this two-year process that he's been on to create this piece, and, you know, how he was sort of struggling about how do you paint a picture of a great man, you know, when you've already read so much and everyone feels like they know so much, and that he finally realized that, you know, that's really not what he'd been asked to do. He'd been asked to make a piece that was a response to the legacy of a great man, which is a very different mission, and that's what this piece is really about. It's not a history lesson. It is an impassioned exploration of what Lincoln's life meant and what it means today, and how in our own lives there are so many different layers of who we really are, the essence of who we really are, and so that Lincoln was no different than that. And so it focuses on him, it focuses on his wife, and both while he was living and after his passing, her experience. And it also is a personal exploration for Bill T. Jones about who he is and what his legacy is as an African-American artist, the stories he's been told about his own history. And if we're going to question Lincoln's history or Lincoln's impact, perhaps we do that for our own lives as well. So there's a great duality to the piece. Visually, as we were saying, there's a strong film component, which it comes in the form of a projection, of course, on the stage. And they use these sort of Greek columns on the stage as well, not only to sort of give us the idea of the White House and of government, but also to sort of get back to the idea of the seat of democracy. So that sort of Greek column, the birthplace of democracy, if you will. And so that's sort of visually how the stage is set. And then there's actually a, sort of an oval scrim that encases the dancers at different points during it. And so it can be projected onto and can be moved in and out of. The piece has, as we were talking before, quite a bit of spoken word, not only Lincoln's words from some of his most famous speeches, but also poetry from people like Walt Whitman and some original texts that Jones has written upon his own reflections. And so I think that you can expect what I normally expect from this company is to be watching something that has a dreamlike quality to it. And sometimes those are pleasant dreams. Sometimes those are hopeful dreams. Sometimes there's a nightmarish quality to them. Lincoln's life, you know, was hard wrought. And although we focus so much on his own death, I think this piece reminds us that his death came on the heels of many thousands and thousands of deaths of the Civil War. And so this piece harkens to some of those ideas as well. And you see that reflected in some of the movement that the company will portray.
I read a quote, a comment from Bill T. Jones on their website, which I'm paraphrasing because I didn't print out this particular page. But he said something that he feels that in some ways his own life, Bill T. Jones' own life, and some of the attitudes that he carries are somehow a product of the fact that Lincoln was killed, that he did not live.
Certainly. I mean, it's an interesting question to ask. How would things be different if Lincoln had not been shot, if he'd been able to continue that second term? You know, how would the Reconstruction have happened? Would it have been better? Would it have been worse? And certainly, I think Bill T. Jones, this has been a very personal project for him in asking those questions of how would my life be different? He talks, too, about, I believe, his great-grandmother on his mom's side was a slave during this era. You know, and obviously we're all shaped by the past that brings us into our own future. So I think it's a really intriguing question, because certainly the legacy of Lincoln has shaped our country and therefore shaped us all.
Here is another segment. We'll play a longer segment here from the original score for this piece called Fondly Do We Hope, Fervently Do We Pray by the Bill T. Jones Arne Zane Dance Company, which is going to be at the Kranit Center tonight at 7:30. The composition here, again, by Jerome Bagan, Christopher Antonio William Lancaster, and George Lewis, Jr., performed by a woman whose last name I'm not sure how to pronounce. It's Clarissa Cinceno or Cinceno, S-I-N-C-E-N-O. My apologies that I don't know that. This segment is called Arise, My Love, and I've only listened partway through it, so I'm very curious to hear it unfold. So for listeners, you know, you can sort of imagine what might be going on in the production. Assume your imagination is wrong, and then go out and see the show.
There we go. Excellent advice.
So this is from that production by Bill T. Jones, Arne Zane Dance Company on Live and Local. That is a segment of a piece called Arise, My Love, text coming from the Song of Solomon, at least partly so. Music by Jerome Bagan, Christopher Antonio William Lancaster, and George Lewis, Jr. The vocalist, I believe, was Clarissa Cinceno or Cinceno or something like that. And it's music that is part of the production by the Bill T. Jones Arne Zane Dance Company, Fervently We Hope, Fondly Do We Pray, which is going to be presented at the Kranert Center for the Performing Arts in Urbana tonight at 7:30. And we have with us on Live and Local for this part of the show, for what's left of it, Bridget Lee Kalfas of the Kranert Center, to talk a little bit about the production. Bridget, you said earlier that there, you know, some certainly, as you would expect in a piece that has something to do with Lincoln, elements of tragedy and horror in it. And you could hear some of that, I think, in that particular musical segment, at least the tragedy.
Yeah, it's certainly an emotional piece. And much like I think Bill T. Jones is reflecting on his own life versus Lincoln's legacy, you know, we have to remember that while the nation lost its president, someone also lost their husband. And so Lincoln's story is also very much her story. And I think a lot of people know that you know, it was sort of widely publicized that she was very troubled after his death and ultimately in a sanitarium for some time. And so she's a very interesting figure to explore as well. And this piece does it, as you mentioned, with the text from Song of Solomon about my beloved. And there's several pieces in this production that deal with her life and her reactions to his assassination. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about this piece is that there's so many different points of connection because of how you may relate to someone experiencing loss, whether that is looking at the relationship between a husband and wife or the parts of the show that suggest the deaths that occurred during the Civil War. And so I think there is a lot of resonance in our own time with Lincoln's legacy, and I think that that comes out in this piece quite a bit.
If folks are interested, you can go to Bill T. Jones' website, and I don't have, oh, it is just billtjones.org, and there's, it's a fascinating site to explore. But
it is a great site.
Yeah, there's some video clips, which I think are also on YouTube for that matter.
Yeah, if you just go to YouTube and Google Bill T. Jones or Fondly Do We Hope, Fervently Do We Pray, you can look at some of the excerpts of the show, and it's a gorgeous show.
And also, but I was going to say that he talks about putting it together, and it's interesting to hear him do that. One of the comments, or really questions he was asking in part of the clip that I watched, was how do you get an audience to come out to see a dramatic piece about Lincoln? And then how do you get them to think that it might actually be fun?
Right.
I didn't get too much beyond that. But from what you can tell, is there an element of fun in this as well as the other qualities?
I think that even though his work can be challenging and can be controversial, there's something uplifting about the way that they are performed. The dancing is absolutely exquisite, and the choreography is quite brilliant, of course, from this Tony Award winner. I think that what is uplifting about his work is that he leaves us with so many points of interrogation in our own lives. I remember after I saw Blind Date a couple years ago, I'm one that when I've been moved, I am quick to get to my feet for that round of applause. And I couldn't at the end of this because I needed to just sit there and take it all in. And I had so many questions in my own mind. I was so ready to sort of grab the next person next to me and say, oh, we need to talk about this. You know, I need to explore this further. And I think that is what is exciting about his work. And that is what is joyful, is that he propels people to have these discussions and to ask these questions in their own lives. And I think that that's always exciting when art moves you in that way.
So it's not so much an entertainment as it is an experience.
I think so. I think it is absolutely an experience and an exploration as a society and as an individual.
We're talking with Bridget Lee Kalfas at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts about Bill T. Jones' Arnie Zane Dance Company, this production called Fervently Do We Hope. Fondly Do We Hope. Fervently Do We Pray. And it's tonight. It's just one time only, so...
Yeah,
if you have no plans,
opportunity to see it here,
don't make any, you know.
Yeah, make this your plans for this evening. And, you know, there's so many people have been interested in his artistic process because it is quite unique. And there's actually going to be a film made about the process called A Good Man. That'll be a documentary on the PBS American Masters series slated to air in 2010-2011 season there. And one of the best quotes that I've read from him was when he said, you know, people are asking him, how do we figure this all out? How do we process all this? And I think that's often a question you get in modern dance is, what am I supposed to feel? What am I supposed to understand? And he said, I'm a mystery to myself, and I'm certainly not an open book to you.
Mm.
And so I think it's a great quote, and I thought it was a great way to look upon his work, is that you're not supposed to figure out every little thing and supposed to have a specific response at every single moment. It's really about experiencing it, just sitting back and experiencing it and having that response for yourself.
Here's a little bit of one other clip that we got from the company. This is called Mary Todd, composed and performed by George Lewis Jr. And this is music that will be performed live in the production by the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company tonight at the Krannert Center. Thanks, Bridget, very much for joining us.
My pleasure. And if people have information that they want to get from KrannertCenter.com, of course, we're there 24/7, or call the ticket office at 217-333-6280.
In crawls Mary.